Right on, right on. How's everybody? How's everybody? Let's do a real quick. Okay, it's Two Stonians. I forgot. I always forget to do this fucking part. Hey, everybody, it's Two Stonians. I'm back with Joe. We're joined today by Christina and Roy. We're going to talk NBA somehow, even though there is no NBA. We're going to do a retrospective on the Rockets championship years, and we're going to talk about some potential return scenarios that are being thrown around for NBA. But we'll get there first. And I'm sorry if I'm springing this on you. It was an idea I had like 10 minutes ago. But quick mental health update. How's everybody doing? How's everybody coping, or what you're doing to cope? However you want to answer that. Joe, we'll start with you.
Me? That's random. Okay. Me? I know. I figure like either we let the guest go first, or then I go last. I don't know. It's fine. I can go first. Me, I've been. It's been an emotional roller coaster. I've had a lot of family issues unrelated to the virus, but very impacted by the virus over the last couple of weeks. And it's really getting used to being home all the time, which is fucking fantastic. Like, just being home all the time. Like, I work a 10-hour shift, and it takes me an hour to get to work. So I'm away from home for 12-plus hours a day. So when I do get home, it's like, oh, here's the 4 hours I get to enjoy my space, and then I go to bed and go to work. It's been fucking great. I love everything that I have. I have so much cool shit I get to enjoy now for long, extended parts of the day. It's fucking fantastic. But other than that, it sucks.
Now you know why I like working from home for 5 years straight.
Yeah,
it's freaking it's amazing. Great.
Yeah, I get to watch Maury Povich and do my job from my couch. It's great. Maury's on 2 hours a day. I love it.
So is Judge Judy.
Yeah.
Roy, how are you hanging in?
I just been playing poker, just trying to make rent.
I guess for you, it hasn't been that different since you work from home mostly in your industry anyway.
Well, I got laid off. So, yeah, trying to wait in line for fucking doing the unemployment website was down for 2 weeks. I finally got in. So, yesterday the governor came on and says now anybody leaving the house in that to wear a mask, cloth mask.
Yeah.
So, I don't know if the other, your state doing that too?
Yeah, well, they recommended it, but it's they phrased it as voluntary, like it's up to you.
Okay.
We bought some online; they're coming in.
Cool,
Christina.
Good, I guess. I mean, I don't know. It's weird to teach online. It's definitely possible, and it's going all right. I think most of the students are doing well, but I kind of miss my students. I miss being in the classroom. You know, I miss actually talking to them, and you know, interacting with them. I realized that's so much of what I love about teaching. So that's kind of, I think, kind of a downer. But on the, you know, on the plus side, I still see them during the week on Zoom and stuff. So other than that, just trying to do yoga and meditation to try to get anxiety under control, because otherwise I can just sit and, you know, stew in all the anxiety that the world causes.
Yeah, it's funny what Joe said when you were talking about how happy you are to be home. We've been home now for like a couple of weeks. Right. Because we had spring break, although we went on vacation, and then I came back. I had my surgery. So I was out like a week and a half before all this started. So I've been home like 3 weeks, and I'm starting to get a little stir crazy. I'm going to be honest. Like, I had that feeling for the first week. I just read comics and played video games. I'm like, fuck, being home, not having to do shit is great. And but now week three coming up on week four, I'm getting a little starting to pull my hair out a little bit. We bought a workout bike. I'm excited about that.
Yeah, and I don't know about how everyone else's jobs are, but like I feel like I have more work than I previously had. So now it's just trying to keep work in check, like keep it to a reasonable number of hours per day, because there's so much to do to make up for the fact that we're not actually in person.
Yeah, and Christina's actually in support services as well as teaching, so she's got to help other people out too.
Yeah, and I was going to say, for me, I have a staff of 6 people. And so now that they're laid off, I'm doing their jobs on top of my jobs from home. So I'm definitely busier. Like, they've been giving us a lot of checklists and stuff we have to do. Even luckily I'm at home. It's just, it's a lot more work for me. It's kind of rough, but I'd rather do it here than there. But they still have me going in twice a week. So like, I still have something a little bit normal. It's only like for a 3-hour shift. So I go in on Mondays, I work 11 to 2. And then on Tuesday, I work 1 to 4, which is super weird. It's like it's not enough time to feel like I'd, why, what, like, it's more of a waste of time for me to drive here, be here for 3 hours, and then drive home than it is for me to just do this at home. But they got to make sure somebody doesn't rob the safe. And I guess that's where the last line of defense, the two people who are there the 2 days we work.
I'm sure,
Joe, you put your life in front of that money.
Exactly, yeah. I'm going to die for their $3,000. Anytime love is on the table, stakes are high. And I thought this was love, so I laid it all on the line. You nearly took everything I had. Never knew I could hurt so bad. But at least I
morning, one of the things we've been doing is going on walks, right? So this morning, so just for some context, last night I text you guys. I didn't know, I never knew about this. So NBA TV in 2015, the mark the 20th anniversary of the Clutch City Championships, they put out a retrospective, right, with like new footage and interviews. I'd never even heard of it. I guess because I'm so I don't have cable and I haven't had cable. And 2015, it was in the, I was in the midst of my like having just moved to a new city, new job, so I wasn't really even thinking in that way, you know? So I just found out about it and I watched it last night. Joe, I know you've seen it.
I've seen it when it came out.
It's a retrospective on the Clutch City Championships, but it's, the perspective is largely Hakeem's and, which you expect, and Rudy T's, which I appreciate it because you don't get Rudy T's story. I just, for the preparation for this, I'd watched the old Clutch City documentaries, and Rudy T is not in it that much. I mean, he is in it in the footage, but like it's player-centric, you know? This one is coach-centric, and that was Christina's real big introduction to Rudy T. And this morning, we're walking around. This is a true story. We were walking on the block, and she was talking about – she had some questions about Rudy T and was asking about him. And I said, yeah, blah, blah, blah. And I was just going on my spiel about Rudy T, how he went on to get a gold medal in the Olympics in 2000, how he replaced Phil Jackson, and he was supposed to restore order to the house of the Lakers and, you know, and all that. And, then his body failed him, and he couldn't coach anymore. And I said, you know, he's the only coach that has both gotten two NBA championships and a gold medal and is not in the Hall of Fame. And I was just like, isn't that bullshit? Literally, as we walked in the house, my phone buzzes and I get a Google News alert. Rudy Tomjanovich elected to the 2020 Hall of Fame. Rudy T, if you're out there listening, I know you're a fan. God bless you, man. It's a due overdue, man. This is his fourth ballot. That's some bullshit, but he's in and that's what matters. And I'm fucking pumped for Rudy T.
Another thing to that's a bad history about Rudy T, the fight or the him and Kermit Washington, what made him back in college. I don't know if y'all remember when he was running down the court, the guy hit him straight in the face, and that's why his voice, he broke his nose completely, part of his nasal cavity collapsed. So that's
that was
why
part of the, that was in the NBA. That was a Rocket when that happened.
Was he a Rocket?
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that was a Rockets game. Yeah.
I mean, that was one of the most brutal things I've seen. Mm-hmm.
It's sad that it's always been something that's been brought up with Rudy T. It feels like his career he's accomplished so much in his career. He shouldn't be known for a guy who got sucker punched in a game. And it really derailed his career, his playing career at least. Mm-hmm. But yeah, like fucking poor Rudy T on that. But I'm just happy he's finally in because he's more than deserving. There's guys who with one ring who were in the Hall before him. He accomplished so much with the Rockets, like his Rockets tenure, like, he's had one of the best winning percentages. I think Mikhail and then D'Antoni surpassed it. But he, like, what he was able to accomplish here, I know it didn't really work out with the Lakers, but what he's able to accomplish here was enough, that I think. And if you ask Robert Horry says that's the best coach he ever played for, and Robert Horry has played for the greats.
And that's
Rudy
right.
was his favorite coach.
He played for Phil Jackson and for Greg Popovich.
Yeah, he played for both. So he knows a thing or two, and he always says, he always puts Rudy T above those two guys. And that means a lot, I think.
And I'll just say this after watching this documentary, and I'm kind of newer to both basketball and the Rockets. One of the things that really struck me about watching Rudy T talk and just sort of looking at the way he coached was he kind of had this sense of calm. And maybe that's just the retrospective, like looking back on things. But he also like did this thing that I think that is not respected a lot in any field, whether it's basketball or really anything else. Like he walked away when it was unhealthy for him to continue. And he talked a little bit about that. And I felt like that deserves a little bit more respect than maybe it kind of gets, because he seemed to, at least in the retrospective we were watching, suggest that like he did it until it was harmful to his body and mind. And then he was like, okay, I did a lot of cool stuff. Like I accomplished a lot. And now I'm going to stop stretching myself to the point of no return. And I kind of respected that a lot. Yeah. Thought it was a really healthy attitude.
Well, he retired twice. He retired from the Rockets because of health. Then he got paid from Jerry West for the Lakers. Then he retired from the Lakers. Mm-hmm. So he came back for money. and played for Jerry West. So I don't know, I just wanted to clarify that. Yeah, fair enough.
But this was also after the three-peat, and this was the Shaq without, or Kobe without Shaq.
Yep.
So like they were replacing Phil Jackson. To say what people think of Rudy T, they were going from Phil Jackson to Rudy T, and Jerry West, the great Jerry West, felt really like that's who he chose. Yeah. He chose to transition from a championship coach to a championship coach. Yeah. And just unfortunately, he had to step away.
You know, wasn't his back, or was it?
I don't remember.
actually. Either. He walks with a limp. His back is what I thought it was, too, but he walks with a limp. But like, there's something to be said. I want to go back to what you said about that walking away, Christina. I think that's key. A couple months ago, I was listening to an interview with Jackie McMullen, the Boston Celtics reporter, and she was addressing this idea that the players today are soft because they want fewer back-to-backs, less travel. And she said that one of the comments she gets a lot, especially being from Boston, is that, oh, Bird would never have asked for that. Mikhail never would have asked for that. And she's like, yeah, Mikhail can barely walk now because his ankle is fucking just noodles tied together now. Like, Larry Bird has to have back surgery almost every year. Larry Bird, after certain games, would have to be put into traction so his body would work the next day. They absolutely would love to have had more time off. Like, that's a ridiculous thing to believe about those 80s players. So many of them, you look around, those 70s and 80s players, they're just physically broken now. Mm-hmm. Like, and Rudy T, same thing, like with his hip. And like going back to even to the punch, right? Like, he had been a three-time All-Star when that happened. Like, he started leaking spinal fluid. He got hit so hard, you know? And he took 18 months off. He came back, made the All-Star team one more time, and then retired. Like, he proved his point. But that thing is, that idea is, like, I think really important, that he knew to walk away when his body was not, we couldn't handle it anymore. And it's nice to see him validated despite that, because in the past, we punished that tacitly. I want to read some of his stats, career stats. His one last shout out to Rudy T. And so he was a 6'8 forward. He was went to the University of Michigan, and the NCAA, he averaged 20 points and then 27 points and then 30 points as a sophomore, junior, and then a senior. He still holds the UM record for most career rebounds. And he was an All-American. And then what else? He made the All-NBA All-Star team on 5 different occasions. His number 45 jersey is retired by the Houston Rockets. And he won a gold medal in the 2000s. And he is now an inductee of the Naismith Hall of Fame. Congratulations, Rudy T.
Hell yeah. Well deserved. Well deserved.
Fuck yeah. All right. Now let's talk about Clutch City. The reason I convened this meeting. So I sent you guys a bunch of stuff to watch. I myself watched both the old school documentaries, one I own on DVD, one I found on YouTube. I watched the end, or we watched, I should say, me and Christina, we watched the end of the Magic Rockets game one so she could find out who Nick Anderson was. And then we watched the new NBA TV 20-year anniversary documentary last night. Did you guys watch some of those stuff, or are you guys just going from memory?
I watched both Clutch City and Double Clutch. I had just recently watched something the Bleacher Report did about the Nick Anderson shots.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you know how they do like those A Moment in Histories where they do like a 20-minute deep dive, and like they're really good if you don't watch them. But they did one about that Orlando Magic team, so I watched that recently. And then I've seen the one you just watched on NBA TV. I saw it when it came out. Yeah.
So what did you think? What was it like for y'all to watch those like this much later? I hadn't seen the Double Clutch of Clutch City since I was in college, probably.
Mm-hmm.
And I've never seen the NBA TV one. Christina's discovering all this history for the first time because she's a New Rockets fan. So I'm just going to throw it out to the panel. What did you feel? What did you think of? What did it remind you of when you were watching those?
I want Christina's opinion because she like we experienced this. So this is like all nostalgia for us.
Yeah.
It's just like this isn't like there's, you know, you enjoy the Rockets. So it's good to know their history. What was it like to you watching all this old shit?
So it's really funny because the running joke, the thing Jorge has always said is that when we got married, he didn't ask me to take his last name, but he asked me to take his team, which is sort of the funny thing. So,
I wouldn't say I asked.
All right, whatever. Anyway, point being, we got engaged in a Rockets game, all this other stuff. So I was like, I should really start watching the Rockets more than just casually. Mostly I was watching them before just to kind of be supportive. But I like really got into it in the last 2 years, really paying attention, trying to like learn how to watch basketball and have really gotten into it and really enjoyed it. But what that means is I've really only seen really the last 2 years of Rockets basketball. And so really, I see James Harden. I got super excited about Russell Westbrook this year because I think now it's like really fun to watch, you know, how much faster the games are. So when we were going back and watching these games, I was like, they can hit each other? Like, what are they doing? They can't. They shouldn't be doing that. Why aren't they getting called out, you know, or whatever? But I think the most fun or interesting thing was watching Hakeem because he's just got really good footwork. And that kind of became the fun part for me was watching all the kind of, I don't know, like everything else felt really different to watch. It was a little bit more physical, not too much more, but like little stuff was sticking out. But really, like the way that Hakeem could just pivot around anybody and just block shots, I think was the most exciting part to watch. The other stuff was cool too, but it kind of looked like, you know, when there were some like game winning shots or whatever, like three pointers that came in, that kind of looked like stuff that happens now too. Although obviously like happened in great moments back then, but the thing that was most exciting, I think, to watch was Hakeem. Everybody always talks about how good of a player he is, but I didn't really understand that until we watched some of the footage from the games.
What'd you think, Roy?
Oh, it was great, but it also brought up a bad point when they freaking showed the OJ Simpson thing and they broke through the Rockets game. Oh my God.
I gotta pause this. Bro, are you feeling okay? Because we talked about Rudy T and you immediately brought up his face being broken and you brought up the Rockets for a championship. You brought up OJ killing his wife. Like, what is going on? Are you feeling okay? Do we need to intervene right now?
I've been watching 12 Monkeys, Contagion, and all that, dude. I'm just done.
Oh my God.
Oh man. It's funny about that. I do remember that moment because I was watching Game 5 live, obviously, right? And they cut away, and I was just so mad because I didn't know who O.J. Simpson was because I didn't really watch football. I watched Houston, right? So, like, I knew who Warren Moon was and Ernest Gibbon was, but I did not watch football broadly. Back then, I watched baseball broadly and basketball. Basketball won out. And I had no idea who the fuck this was, and I was so upset because I was, like, 13. I was like, what is happening? Or 12. It was 94. So I was 13. I was like, what the fuck? I was so upset. Like, who is this? Who cares? Like, who cares? And then eventually we lost that game. And in my head, that's somehow to me, that's OJ's greatest sin, even though clearly it's not.
Well, one thing that I liked rewatching it last week was how good it reminded me how good point guard Kenny Smith really was in there, mm-hmm. and how he in the training with Sam Cassell and seeing him. I remember rooting with Sam Cassell as a rookie, like who the hell is this guy coming out and just you know golf through the playoffs. What was that six seed, right, when we were coming through on the second
year? Mm-hmm, six
yeah
seed.
Yeah, and you know nobody's thinking anything, but you know then Cassell comes out, I'm like okay, and yeah, it's just remind me of that, and also the great Otis Thorpe. He doesn't get enough credit for what he did in the first championship run.
We wouldn't have won it without him.
No. In fact, that was the drama of the second championship, right? Is trading Otis Thorpe.
True.
Mm-hmm. So I want to go back to something like Christina said, because I watched Game 1 of the series of the Knicks series a couple weeks ago. Not in preparation for this. I just watched it because I own it. And I watched because it was All-Star break and I needed some basketball. So I just watched game one of the Rockets next. And I'm going to watch game six next because game six is probably the best game of that series. And then I watched for this, I watched game one of Orlando Houston, right? The Nick the Brick game. And one thing I noticed, and you talked about earlier, Christina, about how, like, man, they're just hitting them. They're just pushing them around. And maybe really one of the things I really wanted to look at was the hand checking. And I was like, no, it's good we got rid of this. Hand checking is bullshit. Like, it's not even hard. Yeah, you just shove a guy. That's all that is. Like, Derek Harper fucking pwned Kenny Smith that whole series because Kenny Smith gave up 25 pounds to him.
Yeah.
And you see Derek Harper constantly shoving him out of position. Just shoving him. Just running up him, just stiff-arming him towards the baseline. Like, that's not fucking defense, man. Yeah. Fuck that. Like, I'm glad. I'm now going back, watching Derek Harper. I'm like, I'm glad we got rid of this bullshit. This isn't defense. Like, come on.
Yeah.
Those games were like 78-82. That was a fucking – it sucked to watch sometimes, that first game. And then the second game, you get Penny and Shaq, who's the vanguard of the new generation of what has become now the modern NBA, I would argue, is Penny and Shaq. Those that generation players, Kobe, are the vanguard of what the NBA is an extension, I think, today of what they are. And you can see it with the Rockets running modern sets. Like, they had a lot of, like, motion, kick out to the three. Like, Kenny Smith, we had that one game where he hit seven threes, but Robert Horry had multiple five or six three-pointer games. So, like, that team shot a lot of threes. Not like today, obviously, but you can sort of see it. But just in that one season, it's so different, the styles of play, because Anthony and Shaq, you start seeing diagonal passes across the court. They're running back and forth. The scores in all those games are like 105, 110. Like, it's more modern scoring. 101, 110.
What number is that?
He teaches English, not math.
Yeah.
Okay. But, guys, all numbers are made up. Another thing. Yeah. Another thing that it reminded me was, do you remember after the Rockets beat the Magic that Taco Bell was going to have a pay-per-view with Olajuwon versus Shaq one-on-one? Mm-hmm. And it didn't happen. Shaq dropped out of it for some reason. Well, oh, my gosh.
He was going to get clowned. Are you kidding me? He was going to get clowned. Because here's the thing. I want to go back to another thing Christina said about, like, seeing Hakeem and, like, whoa, this is the legend, and really appreciating his footwork and his shot. And she said, like, the other stuff seemed familiar. It was the kind of modern, the kind of sets. And I think that Rudy T ran a pretty modern offense, right? At the time, it would have been a modern offense, like cutting edge of offense. I mean, one of the things I didn't even really realize being 13 and 14 watching those championships is that the Rockets were, like, pushing the envelope on offense. They were really, like, trying new things, like having the ball move through Hakeem, right? And I don't think we've seen other Jordans since Jordan, less so, to be sure. But we're just now seeing guys that anything resemble anything like Hakeem. I can only think of two, and then only kinda. Joel Embiid, for some of his post moves, although he looks like he's like a slow Hakeem because Embiid's got like 40 pounds on Hakeem. And Jokic passing at the elbow. Besides that, like, I can't
either
think
consider
anybody that's like anything like him since him.
But he's I also dirt. Think they don't. You don't play guys like him like that anymore. Like, if Hakeem played now, he'd be Giannis.
So Giannis, but I don't see Giannis having the shot touch.
I'm not saying Giannis is Hakeem. I'm saying they would play Hakeem like they play Giannis. He'd be at a different position. You'd play him. He'd be your point forward now rather than your center. Hakeem would change. Like, Hakeem's position would change. So I think guys who have his kind of talent are being pushed to use their athleticism more than he was. Like, he could, because he could body you down, you give it to him and you let him do that every time. But in today's game, like, you're like, the best shot on that Magic series is when Hakeem hits the three and it's over. Yeah, like, Hakeem would have been shooting crazy amount of threes now. Like, you know, he would have worked, like, he'd had a better shot and they'd have made him stand on the outside. He'd probably be wasted because he'd be like Serge Ibaka or somebody because we don't run post anymore.
You don't think that looking at Embiid now is what Hakeem would be? Like, kind of more of a blend of threes and post?
No. Because Hakeem can do more than Embiid.
Big time, yeah. And one thing you can see resemblance is Embiid trained with Olajuwon for 2 years, the first 2 years he was
there. Well, that's his idol, like – Right. African player.
The African players love Hakeem. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he's their Jordan.
Back to the Hakeem, and I could put Dirk in there. Dirk is taller than Hakeem and has a better shot and post up and play center. He's not better.
He doesn't have a better post.
Said that, I compared the Dream Shake to the Dirk Nowitzki elbow one legger. Closest thing.
Yeah.
One legger.
Yeah. But that's the closest thing I think that would come close. I mean, you know, Shaq's the best football player in the NBA ever. He was dominant because of his size. You can't teach 300 pounds.
No. But Shaq also had some skill to go with his size, which that's why. There's other guys who have been that big, but you know, there's only one Shaq. Shaq's thing is he was so athletic he could be lazy, which is why Kobe hated him.
Yeah. Charles Barkley style.
Shaq had that. I mean,
yeah, Barkley. Fuck, man, that guy should have been playing in this era. Fucking 6'6" guy who can guard anyone on the court.
Throwing elbows.
I'm sorry, 6'6", 6'4". Fucking Barkley short. That guy was getting rebounds up with Hakeem. Like, that guy was battling centers in the fucking center era.
I gotta tell you, though. You're right. But I gotta tell you, I enjoyed watching him fail against the Rockets because he was so smug. motherfucker. I mean,
I was a Rockets fan.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, I was rooting against it too. Then he became a Rocket.
Yeah, that was. I never embraced them as a Rocket.
Hey, they almost made the finals.
And they traded Robert Horry for him. Yeah.
They were one shot away from the finals.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. And that would have probably. You know what? This is funny because one of the big narratives of the NBA TV is that they were slow to embrace Clyde, and they didn't embrace him until the playoffs because they had traded their friend for him.
Their friends, yep.
And the Rockets, they were such a sort of like, I forget how fucking, in a way that I love, how fucking like ghetto Vernon Maxwell is, or how fucking regular ass dude Mario Elie is. And here comes Clyde Drexler reading the newspaper wearing his fucking glasses, nerdy ass fuck. Like, they were such a working class team. And he could go like the Bill Cosby of the NBA has joined the squad, and they just don't like him for that too. You can tell. Like, Clyde Drexler's not going to go party with you after a game, right? Clyde Drexler's going to go home and like smoke a pipe and read about Brandy. You're not even drinking.
You know what's funny? You know what's really funny about Clyde? Clyde Drexler is one of the smartest people to ever play basketball. Quite athletic. He has no charisma.
Nope.
He is so bad at announcing a basketball game. It makes you think he's stupid. Just no charisma he has. But this guy runs like the big three. Like, Clyde Drexler is someone you want to run your league. Yeah. He just has no charisma at all.
Yeah, Clyde Drexler is someone I have to constantly remind myself, this is the second most important Houston Rocket of all time. Because
no, he's not. Calvin.
No, he's not.
Calvin or Rudy.
Calvin, or even Moses Malone.
I'll give you Rudy too. I'm gonna go Clyde three because Clyde won that Calvin second championship. Murphy. Like the couple Calvin clutches Murphy. Is.
Yeah, but I don't know. Calvin's been with the organization. I count all of it. So Rudy T was with the organization for 40 years. Calvin has been with the organization since it was in fucking San Diego. Calvin's been with the Rockets from every day they've been the Houston Rockets. So I kind of give that more weight. It's probably Harden by now, but. Like those guys, I think they're in the pecking order.
Regardless, he's a goat Rocket, and I have to remind myself of that.
He is
so bad on the mic. He's so bad.
He's real bad.
But and that's how I thought about
time. He has way more connection to us than he does the team he established himself with the Blazers. He's still with the Rockets.
Well, he's from Houston. So
yeah.
The way that the team treated him. Right, like this outsider, we traded one of our favorite guys for you. You don't belong with us. And then winning fixes everything, right? Winning heals all wounds, right? That's how I felt about Barkley, except he didn't win. Like, they traded Cassell and Ori for him, and those were my two favorite Rockets. And when that trade happened, I was 96. I was 15, so I was not rational. Like, I wasn't thinking, like, no, stupid, now you have a second Hall of Famer on your team. Or another Hall of Famer on your team. And then I was just like, you traded my favorite guys. You know, so I never embraced him. And then in my head, somehow it was his fault Stockton hit that shot, even though that's ridiculous.
Wow. They needed someone to counter Jordan. When Jordan came back, they needed another star. And me personally, I don't think the Rockets would have won two. They would have won one if Jordan was back, I think. But, I mean, they needed some. They got
Barkley. He was back the second one.
He was back, well, and we won two, so fuck you. We beat the guys who beat him.
He was back at the second half of the year.
By the transitive properties of winning, we beat Jordan. Because we beat who beat Jordan. And Jordan knows he would have beat his ass in 94. I firmly believe that. Okay, he has said multiple times on the record, I don't want to play the Rockets. Because he didn't want to deal with the Keem.
I also think winning that fourth in a row is too difficult. They don't win the other three if he's not out for a year and a half.
But, I mean, trading for Barkley then was good. I mean, Barkley took the Suns to, Western Conference Finals. I mean, it was the only thing. There was nobody else.
He took him to the finals.
You're right. Yeah. You're right. With Thunder Dan and
– You know what I'm realizing? You know what I'm realizing? Chris Paul is the modern era version of Charles Barkley.
No, he's not. Charles Barkley made the finals.
Yeah. I meant for us. The only thing that matters is how the Rockets fit into this. I don't care about anything else. For the Rockets.
Maybe. I don't know.
I don't know about that.
What'd you say, Christina?
I don't know enough about Charles Barkley, honestly, to answer that question.
Terrible.
You know enough, I think. You know enough.
Yeah, what's your gut
though? He lost to the Rockets. Okay, I did want to say this. Watching these two documentaries, I think I have more memories of the second one. Like, the second one, I'm older because I was 12. I was 11 during the first one. I was 12 during the second one. Yes. The second team just sits with me more in my brain. Like, one, it solidified the Rockets. Like, they're not a fluke. They went back to back. And two, the murderer's row of teams they went through. They beat the 3 seed, the 2 seed, the 1 seed in the West, and then they beat the 1 seed in the East. Yeah. Like, that murders. And the teams we're talking about, like, we're talking about the Jazz, the Suns, the Spurs, and the Magic. Sonics. We're talking about four amazing. They didn't go through the Sonics. And that's another thing. The 2 years we won were the 2 years we didn't play the Sonics.
Yeah.
I think they were our biggest problem because the next year for the three-peat, we lost to the Sonics. They were our bugaboo. And I remember every game against the Sonics, they just owned us, man. They owned us. I think it was because of GP.
Well, the year before the first championship, they beat us in the second round in game 7 overtime. That's as close as we ever gotten to beating them. Mm-hmm. But they had our ass the whole time.
The whole time, and we avoided him those 2 years, which was thankful, very thankful.
And Jorge, back to the comment about the Elijah on making three pointers. I forgot we said supersonics. Perkins was always hitting a three. Remember, he was a left hander, 7-footer, and I was like, why is this guy out here shooting? And he would make them, you know, once in a while. But I mean, it started.
You keep taking me to the dark place, bro.
I'm sorry. I brought us here.
Look, so, I didn't want to think about fucking
Perkins. Watching the two documentaries, which one did you enjoy more?
I enjoyed the one we watched last night. So that was the one. Which one was that, Jorge?
That's the NBA TV, like the combined retrospective that covered the 3 seasons, the season before the championships and then the two championships.
So I think I like that one better because I think the interviews were better with the players and with the coach. And also, for someone who like really couldn't remember that because A, I didn't watch it, and B, I would have been like 8 years old when the in 94 and then 9 in 95, so I wouldn't have remembered anyway, but I felt like it gave a better overview and it made me understand like how the games, just how people felt about the games. And then the thing I like about basketball, because I don't really follow any other sports except for basketball, is I feel like, I was saying this to Jorge the other day, I feel like there's some kind of narrative to it. It's not just about how many points are scored. There's always these, and I guess that's true for a lot of sports, but I really feel like for basketball, there's this bigger narrative of like who's doing what on the team at the time and what their backstory is and how that plays into how these games are going. And I felt like the documentary we watched last night gave a little bit more of that. Because the other one we watched, I had no idea that Clyde was not very popular or like welcomed on the team when he first got there. And the other documentary, I was like, oh, cool, they got Clyde Drexler. That sounds nice, you know. And then this one, I was like, that was not what happened at all, you know. So I felt like the one we watched last night was, I don't know, more interesting to me anyway.
That second one also had the story of Hakeem bit smacking Vernon Maxwell for acting a fool. You remember that? You remember that story?
Yeah.
Vernon Maxwell was like spit on somebody and was spitting on the ground, and Hakeem said, "Show some class." And Vernon Maxwell spit on the ground again. So Hakeem just walked up and just smacked him.
That was a little bit of Hakeem coming out.
Fucking, that was a great story.
I said another thing it brought reminded me of was when Elijah won and Maxwell would fast. And I forgot all about that. You remember when they wouldn't eat for, I forgot how long they were doing that. And
I remember
they were worrying about, you
Ramadan,
know,
yeah.
Limiting minutes for him. But no, they both went out and did it.
Because they couldn't drink water. Like they couldn't even drink water while I was sitting on the court. I remember those games. Like it was always a tense situation. Like, all right, we know what we're dealing with. We got two guys dealing with this. So I remember that vividly. Do you guys remember when you had to pay-per-view the home games?
Yep, when it was the Summit, HSN, wasn't it?
It was the first championship for sure. I can't remember how bad it was during the second one.
They were blacked out.
Yeah, playoff games were blacked out. So we would have Channel 13 and Channel 2 would check in and let you know what the score was. Because nobody could get it unless you pay-per-view to get it.
Dude, I didn't know that. My dad just got them. I didn't know
that.
We had
to buy it. We had to pay for it.
I didn't know that.
That's funny.
So I'll be remiss if I didn't share the next couple of stories. The thing I watched, especially the Clutch City and Double Clutch documentaries, the 94-95 ones, was obviously overwhelming nostalgia. But for me, it will always be special. Joe, you said you remember the second one. I'm just a little bit older than you, so the first one's the one I remember. That's the championship to me. Because that's the one with Mad Max and everything. Clyde, even to me, like, I love Clyde. I was excited when we traded for Clyde. So the first NBA – I remember the first NBA championship I remember watching were when Michael beat Clyde. I was 11. I watched the next championship. I only watched the finals because my dad was watching them. And then everybody knew who Michael Jordan was, and then Michael Jordan was in it, and he beat the Suns in 93, and I watched that one because my dad was watching them. And of course, at that point, every kid knows who Michael Jordan is, so I just want to see Michael Jordan play basketball. Then that was also the year we lost to the Sonics. And I remember feeling like, oh, like knowing this is bad, but like not really understanding stakes, right? I was with 12. The next year was the first year that in my memory, I was paying attention. Even though it was probably, 12, 13-year-old paying attention, my dad telling me, oh, you seems excited. I'm going to call him over and watch Rockets with me every once in a while, right? So I don't know how much I actually watched. That's the one I remember watching. So for me, that will always be tied to my father, because for those of you who don't know, I lost my father like a few years later from the cancer. So that was the first – and me and my dad's relationship was always like I was the nerdy kid. He was the intellectual. We never really had much to – like that was ours until the Rockets. So that was the first thing we ever had that was like me and dad. So – the second season to encourage me, because he's like, finally, we have – I think he must have felt it too because he wanted to encourage my Rockets love. So the next season, he's buying his jerseys. He's buying his hats. He's encouraging basketball. I'm excited because I actually like basketball. Me and my dad are doing something. So for the second Double Clutch run, I went to two playoffs games. I went to game one of game one of Double Clutch. I don't remember if we won or not. I feel like we did. But it was a win. One of the first homestand because it was back – it was 2-1. And then during the Sun series, you remember how we went down 3-1?
Mm-hmm.
I was at the one.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. And that's it. After that, they got too high and we couldn't afford the prices.
Yeah.
But for me, going back to those memories will always be memories of my father, because my father also had cancer, so he was pretty kind of a steel guy, kind of an intellectual guy. But the Rockets were the only time he fucking loses shit. He gets so excited. I remember at that Jazz game, he was running up. This old Ecuadorian man, halfway crippled by cancer at this point, rejuvenated, running up and down the Summit steps, high-fiving the strangers because he was so excited because he fucking loved hoops. He loved hoops and baseball, which is why the two I love were hoops and baseball.
Yeah.
And for me, that's just brought back so many fucking happy memories of me and my pop. So it was such a like positive. I actually even said, I went over and I looked at Christina, I looked over and I said, this is the first time I felt joy since for like 2 weeks. It was just thinking about my dad and watching the Rockets. So
nice.
Nothing else. It was super worth doing.
So for me, it was, see, I'm older than both of you. So it was game two. It was the second championship because I was 14 and I went to Richmond Avenue after they won.
Yeah.
And there was a big parade and that. So that, even though watching the first championship with my dad and that, all, you know, that was great, you know, and we did the same thing for the second one, but seeing everyone honking on Richmond, that was freaking great. But I mean, that's, yeah.
Right. And also too, riding the fire trucks.
Yeah. And I also too, I loved Penny Hardaway. I thought, I mean, he was going to be the next, you know, best thing in there. So I was like, kind of, I was always rooting for the Rockets, but you know, I was just like, Penny, you know, needs to step it up. I was thinking that, rewatching the documentary, I'm like, man, he really did horrible here against Kenny Smith. Like, how much taller is he than Kenny Smith? He could have posted, and it's just stuff like that. But just seeing Clyde and Akeem win one together when they lost the one in college, that right there was really cool.
Yeah. Penny just got old manned at the gym by Kenny Smith.
Yep, he did.
Just head faked them to death.
Nope.
Do you remember when Kenny Smith was in the slam dunk contest?
I do.
I don't remember.
He came in second.
When he was a Sacramento King. Yep. Look it up, Jorge. It's freaking awesome. Yeah.
I fucking didn't know. Yeah. I'm gonna look that shit up.
Yeah.
So my favorite sports moment was on the second championship team.
Uh-huh.
The Mario Alley Kiss of Death game. Like, yes. Whatever it was. It was on a weekend. I think it was on a Saturday or Sunday. So it was home and it was a day game. And so my dad always had his buddies at the house every weekend barbecuing and shit. So we took our biggest TV outside so they could watch it outside and grill and fucking get drunk is what they were doing. But that's bad. My favorite sports memory was outside watching it with all those fucking dudes going crazy as they were fucking drunk as shit. And I'm just like a little kid, like, oh my God, I did like the, that was, that's still my favorite sports moment is when Mario Illy hit that shot.
Oh my God. I remember that to this day.
It's the most important single shot pass hit in Houston sports history.
Yeah. It's, Yeah. It was to this day, I still remember that moment. So yeah, the second championship will always be with me. Thank you, Rockets, for winning two for me. It's just been so long. So long since I'm walking away, your winner. Walking away from a losing game. With my pride intact in mind, leaning back, I can say, know where I'm going. And I know I'll be alright. I'm walking away, your winner. Walking back into my life.
Right, speaking of shit taking forever, or being a long time since, we haven't had basketball for a while. We're not going to have basketball for quite a while. So on Yahoo Sports, Ben Rohrbach posted a couple of days ago a potential scenario for basketball returning. So there's some caveats here. One, it presumes that it can happen. So we're going to assume the same presumption. Let's assume that this can happen. Basketball in a quarantine space for roughly 2 months in Vegas or the Bahamas. Right? Those are the proposals right now.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just say that it's logistically possible and not a horrible idea. So let's take those off the table. So let's just consider the segments of this proposal as they come and see what we think of each one. So to give you a little bit more background, he decided that he's going to just throw in every crazy idea every NBA Twitter has ever had and just try to incorporate. Mm-hmm. It could become a big laboratory. So they have to reach 70 games per team on average for TV contract reasons, right? So part of that, the reasoning for some of this is that, right? So every team has a chance to get as close to 70 as possible to minimize the financial hit. Also, it's designed so there's no back-to-backs, right? It's, I think everybody plays an average of, I think, 30 games in 60 days or something like that, or 28 and 56, I think is the specific number, which is every other day, right?
Ooh, that's grueling.
Yeah, but that's tough. But you see the way it's structured, you do get little breaks here and there. Those are averages, right? Those are not like every team is going to play 28 games. So here it is. Okay. So I just want to hear your responses, your reactions, and your what you think about each one of these because it's segmented by weeks. So the first week, only the lottery teams play each other, simply to settle their seeding, right? Just they play each other. The second week, all the current top six seeds in the both two champions, in both two leagues, right, get reseeded. So the Bucks would be one. The Magic would be 16. Rockets would be 10th, you know? No, I'm sorry. Rockets would be 9th, not 10th. And so it goes. So it goes. That would be a single elimination tournament, right? And in the single elimination tournament, your wins count towards your regular season record so you can improve your playoff standings. And the team that wins it all gets full pay for the season, even though you don't play all 82. That's the incentive. That's because the version of that has always been there should be a midseason tournament with a cash prize, right? Instead of the All-Star break, we should have a single elimination tournament and just have those games count towards the regular season record somehow. What do you think of both those ideas? Christina, we'll start with you.
I think they sound fun because they give a path forward. And I think it's hard to imagine one that doesn't involve fewer games and just sort of different ways of approaching things. I also think the idea of just playing fewer games and getting eliminated just off of like a single game, it raises the stakes in a really fun and interesting way. So I think it sounds fun. I mean, like I said, it gives a path forward where there doesn't, you know, seem to be one in the normal sort of way. So I'm for it, but I'm a newer basketball fan / know a lot less about how these things would work and how other people might feel about them.
What about you, Roy? What do you think?
I think no matter what happens or anything, there's going to be an asterisk to it. There's going to be an asterisk to whatever who's going to win the championship.
All right, we heard from Kerry Washington. Jesus, man, come on. Get excited.
No, I've heard everything, what Jason J. Williams said, to do it on a cruise ships. I heard other ones saying, you know, rent the conference rooms at the Mandalay Bay. Joe, the one that we went to, Westgate, to rent them out and just have them play in there and quarantine in the hotels.
Yeah.
And that, but I don't know if there's going to be a season. I mean, Adam Silver did say he thought about moving the NBA season, pushing it out later to overlap baseball, basically to screw baseball because nobody watches baseball.
That'd be amazing. That'd be amazing.
Yeah, so that I'm hopeful for. If he could push the season even further out to like September finals, that'd be great. Right before football, I think that would be fabulous.
Yeah, August finals, I think would be the best.
August finals. Yeah.
But let's stay in the world of possibility right now. So let me read you what the matchups would be if we did this single elimination tournament. So these are the four brackets. The bracket one, Bucks versus Magic, whatever it's obviously the Bucks. Heat versus Rockets. Who do you think wins this bracket?
Where is it located at? Who's home?
This will be presuming the Vegas situation.
The bubble situation.
All of this is the bubble situation. We're just imagining that the bubble happens.
Miami Heat.
You think the Heat wins this bracket?
No, I would pick the Bucks.
Hard not to pick the Bucks.
Yeah.
I hate being on the Bucks side of the bracket. That's the one team I'm afraid of.
They stopped them last year in the playoffs.
Next bracket, and check out this game. I think this game will be exciting. Clippers.
But this doesn't determine the finals.
No, this is just the end
is only getting rid of the regular season. There's still going to be playoffs, potentially. Gotcha.
So they can get, these are one game eliminations.
Yeah.
Okay. Clippers 76ers, which I think is a fun game. And then Celtics Pacers. Man, I think the Celtics get out of that bracket.
Oh, easily.
The Celtics.
Single game, I can see the Sixers. And now Simmons has had a chance to heal because that was going to be a big red flag for him. So, like, all these injured players get to come back, like, with rehabs. So, I actually think the Sixers will win that.
So, my question is, are all the players going to come back, like, refreshed, like the ones who were injured or now, like, they've had time to recover and everyone else has had time to rest? Or were they all going to have been lazy and been like, oh, well, the season's over, we're not doing anything, and then they're all going to come back sort of like
slow? It's
going to
be
James Harden lazy.
It's going to be very hit and miss. It's going to be a lot of guys who took this shit seriously and kept their bodies going and a lot of guys who didn't.
Right. Harden and LeBron are coming back fat.
I don't think LeBron's coming back fat. He can't afford to. I've never seen LeBron come back fat. Because
what is Harden's favorite thing to do? Go to strip clubs, right? And drink.
Can't do that.
And how were the Rockets in the very first half of the season?
Actually, Harden doesn't drink. Harden doesn't drink.
Really?
Yeah, Harden doesn't drink. He goes to the strip club sober.
Just because
he hangs out
the music
there all the time sober.
I can't decide if that's more or less problematic.
Problematic. Yeah. Apparently he doesn't drink at all. Yeah, Arts doesn't drink alcohol.
Wow. All right, next bracket. Raptors versus Grizzlies, Nuggets versus Mavericks. I love this bracket.
Mavericks.
Oh, I kind of want to pick the Mavericks too.
The Nuggets is the obvious, I think, choice, just because of.
But about the Raptors, the defending champs?
No, they're not going to. No.
Actually,
Kyle Lowry.
I'm leaning Raptors in this bracket.
I'm leaning Raptors, but I'm cheering for the Mavericks. All right, and the last one is Lakers Nets, and then Jazz Thunder. It's got to be Lakers, right? In a romp.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right. So that would be the end of the regular season. All right. So the next would be a single elimination tournament to decide from between the lottery teams to decide lottery seedings.
I like that.
Yeah. So the first bracket would be the Warriors in a bye, which is hilarious, Burn. Because they're the bottom team, and there's 15. Hornets, Wizards, that's the first bracket. So Warriors, Hornets, and Wizards. I don't know. I guess the Wizards? I don't really want to even pick winners for these brackets.
No.
Here's the thing. It doesn't really matter, because what matters is that these also would determine the seedings for a play-in tournament. So they'll do like the NCAA does, the 7 through 10, play a single elimination tournament to see who gets in the playoffs.
So if you lose, you get the first seed, or do you win and get the
You win and get the first seed and the best seed for the tournament. So you could get the first pick and make the playoffs.
Oh wow!
I think that's
so
cool.
The seventh seed would get the first pick and the seventh seed.
But there's a scenario where the seventh seed gets the number one pick and makes the playoffs. Like Zion Williamson might end up in the eighth seed and have the number one pick coming to join him next year.
Man, that's the same. It's a terrible draft.
Yeah, I know. But doesn't that make you excited? I think that's exciting.
That'd be cool, yeah.
Always said that the ninth seed should get the number one pick, not the 15. Because, like, why are we making another mediocre team? We should be making good teams, but whatever. I love that. And then, of course, you have the opportunity. But you also have the possibility where fucking the Warriors end up getting the number one pick.
I think that's the most likely possibility.
I thought that too, but if Steph Curry came back and won 10 games out of the last 20 on there, it could threaten it. Steph just needs to
If they're playing, if they're having a tournament and they have Steph, like I think they could win the tournament with Steph and Dre against these garbage teams. They should be good. And Wiggins, like, they should be good enough to win this tournament and fuck up and make the playoffs. So the Warriors can make the playoffs and get a one seed. And then if Klay's had all this extra time, I think Klay coming back is in question. They can fucking win the title.
I don't think Klay comes back in time.
Klay's not coming back.
Still, Klay's
back.
That'd be crazy.
We don't know when Basketball's coming back. It's going to be a year and a half since his injury.
Could you imagine if the
so crazy.
Could you imagine if the fucking Warriors won the championship and then got the number one pick?
Yeah.
Crazy.
For their six straight finals. That would be the craziest thing to possibly happen.
Yeah.
That's so weird to think about.
Well,
go ahead,
what to think of too is that Kawhi is a free agent this year coming up too, and there's been rumors of the Golden State trying to go to Kawhi because they're going to give up Dre one way or another. I think
there's no reason.
They're going
to
make
trying to get Giannis.
They're going
to
make
Giannis. I don't think Giannis is leaving.
You don't think so?
No, it's too much money.
Yeah, I don't think he's leaving either.
Yeah,
it's Milwaukee.
If you want Giannis, you're trading for him. You're not getting him off the.
Another thing that's going on right now is the league is asking the players to take a pay cut, and the players are saying, we'll take a lower pay cut or a less amount of money. This has been in the last 24 hours.
Oh, wow.
So they're about to have a grievance with each other. So that's really the biggest thing hanging over this outside of the coronavirus. But they're about to get really funny with the money. So that's really
why that 70 number is important, because it minimizes that hit.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
So then we would have a first round, three games in the first round.
I think that's fun.
I think that's fun too.
I think like seven is a lot sometimes, and I don't know. It feels like, especially for the first round, like, just go for it.
Yeah. That's why it was better when it was a five-game series. But it's just they can't turn down that revenue. That's the only reason they have. The only reason the first round is as long as it is for the revenue.
Right. It just feels like for whoever would win it, like, let's say, well, obviously the two teams who make it to the top are going to have had played all of those games. And if they get played out to seven games for all of those, that just leaves you with exhausted players for the very last round, which is not as fun as if they would be better rested.
Yeah. But that's sort of what the NBA Finals is like, who's better when you're this exhausted?
Yeah.
The Rockets exploited that the second championship. The Rockets exploited that for every single team.
Yeah, we did. We're less exhausted than you are.
Yep.
That's why the Cavs won.
Yep.
That's funny.
So there's some interesting. So this thing plays out going as far as to like potential playoff scenarios, the same, assuming things stay mostly the same, right? So for example, LA Lakers would open in a three-game series against either the Mavericks or the Grizzlies. Man, that's a tempting upset pick.
Lakers, sweet.
I mean, that's two games. That's not. I mean, totally.
Yeah, I would still pick the Lakers. Yeah,
they're not.
Man, I want to pick the Grizzlies, but I mean, the Lakers are the smart money.
Morant can't do it all by himself.
We would open against the Nuggets. I think we beat the Nuggets. I think we beat them.
I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't think so.
That's a coin flip.
I think we beat the Nuggets because I think the Nuggets are stupid. Because I think that some of the team name, like, this is just purely based on team names. I hate the name the Nugget. It just sounds stupid. It just really bothers me. There's a couple of team names that just really get under my skin, and I hate the Nuggets. Like, even before I knew who they were, I hated them, and I will always.
Ooh, the Gold Rush here in Denver.
Yeah. I don't care. It's an unpleasant word. I don't like just like double G and nuggets, and then just the idea that like I just imagine like they're like chicken McNuggets, like they're little tiny little things. Like why would you want that here?
Or they're turds. Yeah. I think we sweep them.
Yeah. I don't agree. I think the way we countered them is gone now. We hardened Capella pick and rolls. Like yep. I think they murder us actually.
Joker's gonna have his way with PJ Tucker.
Yeah, like we have nobody to really guard him. I don't think Covington can really hold him.
I think Rocco's up to it.
We'll see. I don't know. I think that's a real bad.
I hope we do see. Yeah, Let's bet. Rockets are gonna take the Nuggets in this opening three games.
You're already gonna owe me enough, Jorge.
Hey, am I? Because the Lakers, if the Cleveland gets canceled, the Lakers don't make the playoffs. I'm technically right.
No. You're going to pull the pandemic card? Are you really going to pull the pandemic card?
Hey, whatever it takes, bro.
The Lakers are the number one seed. They would have made the playoffs. No, I'm not giving
up. But they did it.
As the third person arbiter, I'm going to say no bullshit on that one.
Okay.
Okay. Hold on. So the last thing. So then the last, the way this wraps out is rounds two and three are both best of fives, and then you get a full seven for the finals.
Nice. I like that.
I like it too, man. I really like all of this.
Yeah.
It's fun as hell to watch, man. I miss hoops so much.
I miss sports in general. I miss, like, I just miss sports so much. We should be, like, watching the Astros get booed right now. Damn it.
Right. Yeah, I bought a swinging and banging t-shirt for this.
Man.
So, I don't know, Joe, I don't know if you saw last night. So, the Nevada Gaming Commission has legalized betting on virtual racing and virtual basketball. Yeah. So, the NBA 2K that was shown on ESPN.
The tournament,
last night,
you can bet on
it. You can go online and bet someone playing video games right now.
Gamblers are desperate, man.
Yeah,
that's an income stream that's just died for a lot of people who make their living gambling.
Yeah.
All right, guys, any last thoughts?
No, I just hope I hope basketball comes back this year. I hope baseball gets to play. It'll be weird to see games with no crowd. I just hope they let us hear all the shit talking for real, and they don't just edit what the players are saying.
Mic them up.
But yeah, I'm just hoping sports comes back and hoping everybody stays safe out there.
All right, right on. That's a great last word. All right, guys, well, thank you for this trip down memory lane.
All right, y'all.
Love y'all. Be safe.
Bye, guys.